Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as Northwest Missouri State Athletics will be the topic of discussion for the next hour. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Trenton. And Matt, besides basketball, we've got to talk about this week is indoor track and field as the indoor track and field season gets underway on Saturday with the Mel Churchman Classic. And doesn't seem like it's possible, but we're into December now and it's time to turn our attention to track and field.
I mean, it's full-on winter sports at this point, John. You know, we went for so long and we kind of hung on to those fall sports, but those seasons officially wrap up. We've had basketball going for a while here for Northwest Missouri State, but at diving in with that first indoor meet, the only indoor meet of December before things really ramp up later on in January and February, but a chance to kind of, I guess, check the pulse of where some of these student athletes are at. And of course, you know, we talked a lot throughout the fall about cross country and how good those distance runners are. A lot of those guys and gals will get some time off until we do hit January, but always fun to be able to get back out, host these meets. And it does seem like Coach Masters and company do a really nice job of bringing in teams, but also setting up the Bearcats to be successful as we go deeper into the winter and onto the spring.
That Hughes Fieldhouse is definitely going to be busy in the next couple months. Not only do you have indoor track and field with four meets coming up this year, but they also host some youth meets. And then, of course, with the other spring sports, trying to work in practice sessions in there as well as they gear up for their season, which is right around the corner.
Well, you mentioned the youth meets, and that's kind of cool that Northwest Track and Field does offer that opportunities for Hughes Fieldhouse, which is such a state-of-the-art facility, be used by some of the younger up-and-coming folks here around Nottoway County and beyond. And the spring sports-wise, you know, Coach Jandrin for baseball is already getting in there with some youth camps going on right now in December. So it is a hopping place right now around Hughes Fieldhouse.
And another place that will be hopping coming up later tonight is Bearcat Arena. The Northwest Missouri State men's and women's basketball teams open up the MIAA portion of their season. And for the Northwest men, also their home opener. The Northwest women had an opportunity to get their home opener on Saturday with that win over Mission. But it's hard to believe that the MIAA portion of the season is here. And also it's hard to believe that for the men, it's just going to be the home opener tonight as well.
I know. Like, it's just we don't typically go this deep into a season without at least seeing one or two games at Bearcat Arena. Now, of course, Saturday, the women able to get in and play a non-conference game against Mission, an NAIA school there. But for the men not to have an appearance at all, this will be a good chance for folks that didn't make it down to St. Joe early in the season to step in and see the Northwest Missouri State men and what they have to offer. And, I mean, what better way to open up the MIAA schedule than being at home against a rival like Missouri Western? So, you know, we look at both sides. You know, Northwest has Austin Meyer, a stalwart in the MIAA that's back for season number 7, its first year for Matt Keeley, getting his toes wet in conference action. And then on the other side, Will Martin's been around Missouri Western for quite some time, and he has that program up and running. But Coach Fieldhouse for Missouri Western on the women's basketball side, it's her first head coaching job ever. So we're getting a little bit of the veteran, but also some of the rookies in this league right now. And so it'll be a fun night of basketball.
Certainly will, and we'll have the broadcast for you right here on KXCV KRNW beginning at 5 o'clock with our pregame for the women. We'll be talking with both the head coaches, Matt Keeley and Austin Meyer as well as Brandon Masters coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and Altar and Home. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
We're back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, and it's time now to talk indoor track and field with the head coach of the Northwest Track and Field Program, Brandon Masters. And Brandon, as we go into December, it's time to kind of get rolling with indoor track and field coming up.
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, we've been practicing all fall, and kids are ready to go. We have a meet this weekend, and so we will have about 50% probably compete in this meet and have a little fun and kind of break off some of the rust.
You know, one of the things with track and field athletes is they've trained so hard throughout the entire year, and I imagine for a lot of these athletes that you have, just when they get on campus this fall and practicing, it's been a long time coming to get to this particular weekend with the Mel Churchman Classic.
Yeah, you know, the track kids didn't get the opportunity like the cross kids. Obviously, they get a chance to run and compete, and we're in week 14 of training before our first competition. So we're pretty excited about getting out there to see where we are.
What are some of the things you try to do to keep things fresh for your athletes? Again, 14 weeks of training before you have an opportunity to even get out and compete against some other teams. That has to be a long time for them. And what you try to do to keep them fresh and where they're gearing up for this?
Yeah, we try to incorporate some opportunity to compete within intra-squad, you know, different opportunities to give me some of the data that I need to tweak our training or change our training for each kid. And so about every 4 or 5 weeks we have some type of testing, quote-unquote testing, so they get fired up and they get to compete against each other.
And just one of the first coming up of four home meets for your team at the Hughes Fieldhouse, and it looks like you've got a really nice set of home meets scheduled for year to year now with the Fieldhouse over there.
Yeah, you know, this is year seven now, unbelievably, for my program, and we're getting pretty good at hosting meets now, and it's not so stressful. You know, I have a meet on Saturday, and I'm not too worried about it, so that's nice. You know, Hughes gives us opportunity, obviously, to train at a high level when, you know, winter starts coming in like today. You know, snow today, but, you know, we don't have to worry about that. We know we have great training opportunities, but it's track meets that really allow our kids to shine. You know, it's a, you know, home meet. A lot of places don't have an indoor facility like ours, and so they don't get an opportunity to compete in front of their peers, and at home we do. So it does give us a little home court advantage, if you will. You know, going into this year, we actually host the MIAA Indoor Conference Championships here at Hughes, and that'll give us a little leg up on the competition, knowing how to run on our track.
You know, besides what you're doing with the hosting of a number of NCAA meets, also looking at some of the schedule what you have on certain Sundays, I think in January and February, you have some youth meets coming in, so an opportunity for area athletes to get a chance to maybe compete and a chance to just open up Hughes Fieldhouse for a lot of people.
Yeah, we host a lot. I mean, we have 4 or 5 meets a year for our college kids. We host the Heart of America Indoor Championships. That's an NAIA conference around here. And then we host 4 youth meets spread across the winter here. And that can be competing anybody. You know, we say 3 to 93, right? So, you know, anybody can actually come to those. And it is a fundraiser for our team as well. But many of the kids on our team have came to those youth meets and actually competed in those. So it's a great recruiting tool for us as well.
And I would guess, too, not only for potential athletes to come into your program, but also an opportunity for some youth just to have an opportunity to be on campus and see what Northwest Missouri State's all about, even if they're not the type of athlete that would maybe move on to the collegiate level, but a chance for them just to get to a chance to see the university and Maryville.
Yeah, it's huge, actually. You know, the youth meet started out as, you know, the first couple were 30 kids, you know, something like that. And we had a lot of our, you know, coaches had kids that they'd run, you know, and have some fun with their kids and compete on the track. But, you know, this last year we had a couple over 400 athletes. So it's a big deal now and a big fundraiser for us, obviously, which is nice to be able to give the kids a nice gear and able to go and compete at great places. And all of our kids work those youth meets too. So we don't really have officials. We do it ourselves, and all the kids run off the events, which is pretty cool.
And I would imagine, too, that's a kind of a great recruiting tool for the athletes that might have potential to go on and compete at the college level, just to get a chance to meet some of the athletes you currently have in the program.
Yeah, we have a ton of kids on our team now that have competed in it. But you know, the other people, we get a lot of parents come up and say, wow, you know, this is a nice campus, you know, and so our even if they don't have a chance to get onto our team, we have a lot of people, hey, I've competed at this these meets and really appreciated that, but the campus is really nice. So I think it is a recruiting tool for campus as well.
Now, before we move on and talk about the upcoming season and obviously this upcoming meet this weekend at the Hughes Fieldhouse, I think earlier this fall it was announced that Tanner Burke's coming into your program as a throws coach, and just kind of talk what he brings to your staff.
Yeah, Tanner, that's exciting. You know, kind of a bump up for us. It's very difficult for us to compete at the conference level, even though we finished in the top three normally, top two with the ladies' side the last few years. But it's really difficult to compete because we didn't do throws seriously. We had some kids on the team, and they worked hard, and we had a volunteer coach, you know, to help them and Coach Luter, who's been around here forever, and you know, Derek was great in helping us, but you know, with the addition of Tanner Burke now, we're actually doing throws at not really this year, where he's recruiting a lot right now, so we'll be able to kind of go into that throws area, which we haven't been able to do. And you know, it's hard to beat a team when you're not doing five or six events that they do. So we've always been more of a running dominant, running heavy program, and it's hard to score enough points to beat, you know, some of the other teams in the conference like Missouri Southern and Pitt State and others that really kind of field a full team. So we're real excited for this transition, and you know, I kind of compare it to it's hard to win a basketball game if you only put four people on the court. Right now, we'll have the opportunity here in the next couple of years kind of develop that throws program and hopefully able to get some more points in areas that we haven't scored previously.
And he does bring a pretty good pedigree in with him, an All-American at Northern State.
Yeah, he's actually still throwing and trying to, you know, go to USA's, and so he's a great thrower. And what's exciting is, from what I've seen this fall, is recruiting has been great. He's brought a lot of kids on campus, and I know that our lone soldier there in the throws department, Allie Pogue, she's getting a lot of one-on-one training, which is awesome, and he's being able to kind of hone his program. So when we do get those kids on campus next fall, we're hoping to 10 to 12 you know, throwers next fall, which would be great.
Now, as far as the team you got coming in this year, coming off a very good indoor season a year ago, I think what you had 22 athletes and ended up going to the national meet a year ago, and again, some All-America status for a lot of those. So really building off of what was a good season a year ago.
Yeah, you know, I don't think a lot of people know that between indoor and outdoor track and field and the women's and the men's team, we have four total sports in track and field, and the average of that those four sports was actually inside the top 10. So we're a pretty good team, top 10 nationally for all four, and as an average, and on the indoor side we're sixth on the men's side, seventh on the women's side, and we bring back a majority of those kids. Obviously a big loss, Tiffany Huey not coming back indoors, but she will have an outdoor this year.
And as far as the ones coming back for the indoor portion of the season, let's just talk about the various areas that you feel that this team will be especially strong in this year.
Well, we're a 400 team. We have some great distance squad, as you saw in the fall. The guys were amazing this year, finishing 10th in the country in cross country. So we're excited about their development into the track and field side. We've scored a lot of points in at the conference level, and we hope to take that to the next level, the national level as well for the distance side. But the 400 and 4x4 and you know, our sprints, 60 and 200, have been very good for us, and we're going to continue that. We have a very good squad, and I'm really excited about the fall training and seeing what we can do with this team in those areas.
Again, you've had a lot of success up to this point at Northwest Missouri State. When you look at this particular group, how do you compare this to past years? And it really looks like this is shaping up to be what will be a very good season for you.
Yeah, you know, I think the men's side, we have caught up to the ladies' side. The ladies have been really dominant the last couple of years at the conference level, but also national level. But the men, we're a little bit more diverse this year. I think our distance side is going to be better. We brought in Moses. He's a transfer transfer hurdler. He's going to be fantastic. And it allowed our 400 guys, 260 guys to really kind of develop, and now they're not freshmen and sophomores. So we do expect a big push this year, and hopefully we were seventh 2 years ago. We were sixth last year. We don't want to be fifth. We'd rather be top four because you get that big trophy in top four. But I think this team is very good and could push for that.
You talked about the success that the distance runners have had in cross country, and for them, not a lot of layoff time between the end of what was the nationals to getting ready to go for the indoor portion of the season. What's the biggest things that they have to do to make that adjustment from cross country to the distance in the indoor meets?
Well, some of them don't have as big a change. You know, 10K, 10,000 meters is a long way, but you know, we don't do that indoors on the track. You know, it's the 3K and 5K, so a couple of those guys will be making a transition down to run a little bit faster, but less distance. But someone like a, you know, Riley Witt, who is a big piece of the puzzle this year for us on the cross side. He's going from 10,000 meters, his primary event's 800. So he's got a lot of training, a lot of speed work to do to be able to kind of flip that switch. But, you know, I think for the most part, these guys will not run a whole lot in December here. You know, we'll sit a lot of the distance kids because of that transition. It is a big change when you're out on a cross-country course on grass and then you're brought into Hughes going a lot faster and turning left on a hard surface. That's a little bit of a transition. So we'll have a couple of kids run in December, but likely they'll open up more in the January meets.
Yeah, and the Merrill Churchman Classic coming up this Saturday. Just talk about the competition that you're looking for out of this meet.
You know, again, it's a chance to compete. It's a chance to have fun. It's a high level practice with other people here. That's all I look at it. It's there's no pressure. 50% of our kids maybe will compete. It's a very low level meet. We'll have 10 to 12, 14 teams, something like that normally. And entries are open, so we'll know more here in the next couple of days of who exactly is coming. We have some good commitments for some teams, but the competition will be nice. We'll have some kids that perform very well. But for the most part, they're going to do a you know, an event, maybe two, and then a workout afterwards. So it's a big practice for us.
When you look at scheduling the various home meets, what's strategically, what's some of the things you think about is on the work where you host these as far as place them into your schedule and some of the things you want to accomplish out of each of these meets?
Well, we've got a pretty good schedule now of when we host, and you kind of slot yourself in to when you might be able to get you know, a fair amount of teams to come to your facility, you know, as far as our home meets. And, you know, it's difficult because there's a lot more tracks than when we started. You know, Washburn's brought theirs online. You know, Mizzou is now has their indoor 200 bank that they just are opening up this past year. So we've got to be strategic in, one, putting meets where we can get people to come. But it also, we've got to have people help us. You know, the officials are a big deal. When we, it's like a three-ring circus. If you've ever been to one of our meets, there's things going at all times. And so we have to have, you know, quality officials to be able to help run that off. So there is some strategy in being able to position those meets in appropriately where we can get those people to help us. But it's also important, depending on the year, if Nationals was at, you know, Pittsburgh State, we wouldn't probably, you know, do a whole lot. We'd come to our place here and focus on that because it's a 300 flat. But Nationals is not on a 300 flat this year. It's on a 200 bank. So we do have to go find those places to get our national level kids an opportunity to run on a 200 bank track, which is a lot different than a 300 flat. So we are taking a couple of trips to those. Washburn, of course, has a 200 bank. Mizzou has a 200 bank. And then Nebraska has a 200 bank. So we'll be looking at those three places to be able to kind of slot in opportunities for our national kids to learn how to run on that bank.
You know, one of the things you touched on too with some of the indoor facilities that have opened up here in the last few years, from the standpoint too in the Midwest, it really seems like several years ago, it was a lot of trips to Nebraska and some of the north, just two or three different places around the Midwest. But now it looks like the Midwest is kind of becoming an area for indoor athletes to really come in and thrive.
Yeah, you know, the tracks around here are amazing. And I didn't even mention K-State's got a brand new 200 bank that they have just launched last year as well. So there are a lot of tracks available. Now, you can't always get into all those. For instance, K-State will not be bringing in a lot of teams. Their facility is not big as far as the seating capacity and other, so they won't have big meets, and we probably won't get the invite. I'm not sure they want us to come up there and beat them on the track. So, you know, we are going to take a trip down to Mizzou and try to run on that track. But yeah, there's options all over the place here, and it's pretty exciting to be able to have that all within a couple of hours. We really have the best tracks in the country all within a short drive, which is fantastic for our kids.
And as a coach, how much fun are you looking to have now that you get the 14-week training session out of the way and actually, you know, watch your athletes out and compete against some other teams now?
You know, I love the fall. It's awesome. It's pure. It's just training. You know, it's easy for us. I mean, it's a lot of work and a lot of time, and we do a lot of individualized training, so it's not easy, but it's fun. You know, and there's no worry about the competition. Yeah, it gets a little bit more stressful. Not only for the kids, but for us as well, because we got to handle some of the issues that come along with racing. You know, sometimes we're pretty excited, and we put up a big mark, and we're happy and feeling good. But the next kid doesn't have a great mark, and he's coming to you all, you know, sad down the dumpsters. They didn't compete as well, so it's a little bit of a high-low game with us throughout the meets. You know, you got to high-five kids and be excited for them because they just set a PR or something like that, and then the next in the same race, you might have to then go to another kid that performed very poorly, and you got to figure out how to help them mentally and try to get them out of that funk after not performing well.
All right. Well, Brandon, thanks a lot for being with us. And again, let's just talk real briefly before we let you go here to the Mule Church McClassic on Saturday. What's the timing things get started, and how can folks come over and take in this event?
Yeah, it's great. You know, 11 to 5 basically is what the schedule is tentatively. It depends on, you know, how many people enter and what events, and so we'll adjust the schedule, but the schedule is online on the Bearcat track page, and you can find that information out there. But we're excited for the meet. Again, 10-12 teams, something like that, traditionally is what we get for the MLT, and we're just excited to get going and lace up the spikes for real.
All right, Brandon Masters, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Again, that's the head track and field coach at Northwest Missouri State, Brandon Masters, the Mel Church McClassic coming up this Saturday at the Hughes Fieldhouse on the Northwest Missouri State campus. Stay tuned. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Compass Dental Group, providing full-service dentistry from braces and implants to same-day crowns and more. From Drs. Bruce Twaddle, Brian Viertaler, and Spencer Twaddle, Compass Dental Group proudly supports the Bearcats. For more information, CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at BearcatSports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at maryvilleforum.com or at 660-562-2424.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as Northwest Missouri State women's basketball 7-1 to start this season, about to head into MIAA play. We're talking with head coach Austin Meyer. Coach, good to see you once again coming off Thanksgiving break. Of course, you kind of hit this point in the year, and you know it's about to ramp up for those conference games. What's your takeaway overall? 7-1 to start. You played some really good competition, and just where your team's at right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we talk about process so much, but if you said, hey, after eight games, would you take 7-1 at the beginning of the year with the schedule we played? And absolutely you would. You know, with the team, you think about the teams we played those first two weekends. And so I think we're a team that we have a lot of room to still grow, you know, especially offensively. But what I have been happy with is just how we've continued to guard. We've continued to just to buy in and take it seriously, just the sense of urgency and how hard you have to play defensively and eliminate team strengths, which a lot of times, you know, three-point shooting, we talk a lot about that is. But we feel like with our system and when you go on film and scout that you can eliminate, I mean, I don't know what the exact number would be, but 18, 20 points just by not giving them just casual driveway threes or giving angles for layups or tendencies in the post. And our kids have done a really good job of just with our defense that we do every day in practice, how hard they go, and then blending it in with, you know, focus on scatter report and what player tendencies are. So we talked to them the other day, you know, goals can be tough. You know, you can say, hey, we want to win 20 games and make it to the NCAA tournament. Well, if you do that and you make it there, are you done? You know, but everybody's goal, you know, the dream goal is to win a national championship. There's only one team that can do that every year out of 300 plus. So one goal that we kind of set out is let's be the best defensive team in Northwest Missouri State women's basketball history. And that's the thing I think is a measurable thing. You look at scoring defense, you look at field goal percentage, obviously three-point defense, those things all go into it, and we feel like we have a team that can do that. So continuing to make sure we're locked in defensively, and then hopefully we continue to grow offensively.
And seeing that so far, giving up 55 points per game, haven't allowed more than 60 points, but just once so far this season, 21% opposing three-point shooting to this point in the season. You're one or two in each of those categories throughout the conference, 12th in the country, three-point field goal percentage defense. Obviously, coming in and having returners buy into that and kind of set a tone helps. But for the newcomers in this age of maybe it's more about running up and down and scoring a lot of points and not defending as much, is it easy to get some of these younger players or even a transfer like Emery to come in and say, this is how we have to play, otherwise you're not going to see minutes?
Yeah, I think they know from the start how much we focus on defense and how important it is to us. And I think we've been a team in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years that you know, we've been up there scoring D, top of the league. Some of that is the pace you play with. We talked about a lot faster last year from an offensive standpoint. And so that's going to make your scoring defense go up a little bit just because there's more possessions in the game. But I think with the returners, the newcomers, obviously they know the system, the being in gaps, guarding the ball, the drills we do in practice. But they've really helped our new kids adjust and learn that. And then the thing with our new kids is, I mean, there's a level of athleticism that, you know, real talk here that we just haven't had. You know, with Sadie, her ability to, you know, block shots, keep people in front, post defend, run the floor. Brooklyn Stanley, Aaliyah Riley guarding the basketball up top, Brooklyn as well. And then Emery, she's 5'9". She's got long arms. She's tough. She's physical. You know, when you drive on her, she's going to cut you off and not let you get ground. So, you know, part of that is the improvement is just, you know, with who we have from a athleticism standpoint. And then Coach Tucker has done a great job for us of really enhancing like our post defense and teaching it and our wall ups and the paint. And that's helped us go next level as well.
There's kind of a fun balance there when you think about the three-point defense of what you're trying to get done out there, because there are a lot of good three-point shooters throughout the MIAA. But Kelsey has really emerged the last couple of seasons. She's playing great as a senior. But then Sadie is a freshman of learning from Coach Tucker and kind of seeing how Kelsey's operating right now. It makes it really hard to operate against Northwest. And after the Minnesota State win, Tom Smith, 600-plus wins at Missouri Western, came over. He was very excited for you and talked about it's easier to slow teams down than it is to speed teams up. And you're about to go into a schedule where you're going to see a lot of teams that want to play fast anyway throughout the conference. But it kind of feels like Northwest is set a little bit different to where the offense is catching up, the defense has been there for a while, and maybe this does become the best defensive team Northwest has seen in a long time in NCAA tournament and well beyond just the first round this year.
Yeah, and we've kind of, you know, last year obviously there was an emphasis to playing faster, and I think that does, every kid wants to play fast, you know, when you come in, and every coach when they get in a press conference, take a new job, they say we're going to play fast. It's just, it's your selling point a lot of times. But to play fast, a lot goes into it. Like, obviously you got to be in really good shape. you don't want your defense to falter because you're playing fast, and you want to get easy shots. If you're playing fast and you're just chucking up bad shots, that doesn't help you offensively. It doesn't help you defensively. So there's times this year, too, where we've had to say, hey, slow it down, just because we feel like when we get teams that play us man-to-man, executing is a thing we can do with our sets, and we got kids that can read ball screens, and our talls, Kelsey and Sadie, can get in and out of them. So making sure, and we've stressed this a lot to him lately, like, yes, if you get a rebound and you have numbers and you have 5-on-4s, 4-on-3s, we want to push, but push to get a layup or push to get a wide open three from a good shooter. If not, let's slow it down. Let's make them guard, and now they have to work, because we know they're going to work offensively against us. We're not going to give you easy ones. And if the game gets going too fast, that's when you get into giving teams easy baskets on the other end. And we're big on get back transition defense, set our defense, guard the ball, do not give up angles. And we showed it on film the other day. There was one time in the Mission game, or maybe it was a Jewel game, where we gave up a wide open transition three, and we said, how many times has that happened to us this year? And they were like, I don't know, 3 or 4, and was like, yeah, that's too many for us. Where we say to them, like, average teams are doing that 2 or 3 times a game. If you're going to be elite, we got to eliminate those. Same thing with 3-point shooting. They think I'm crazy because, you know, a team makes 2 threes and I'm upset that that's too many. But when you watch college, we've talked about this before, when you watch college basketball now, it's just who can chuck the most threes and make them. And so if you can eliminate that, especially the shooters, you know, we've talked about before, like if somebody gets a wide open three on that, we either had a massive breakdown or it's somebody that percentage wise just isn't a good shooter. There's a reason you're open, you know, because the percentages say. Eliminating three, we think is a huge part of the game, because you get a team that goes 9 of 18 or 9 of 20 from three. I mean, that team usually wins those games. And so if you can eliminate that, and with our ability to guard the ball 1-on-1, we feel like forcing teams to play 1-on-1 and get tough twos is something we're going to live with. And even, you know, kids, even if you get a little bit of an angle and there's a body around, it's hard for kids to finish in traffic too. So another big thing that we've emphasized is not fouling. We'd rather, if they maybe get a small step on me, just make sure you stay on their side. You don't foul and make them finish. And we're going to live with that.
Well, even inside, you talk about the bodies and just the presence there can make that shot come off. But if they're going to get the offensive rebound and get the putback, then at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But you're pulling in 42 rebounds per game. That's top 5 in the MIAA, and it feels like one of the higher per game averages we've seen for Northwest in quite some time. Over 13 offensive rebounds per game. Kelsey and Sadie are big, and they position themselves well, but you're seeing a lot of the guards get involved too. Do you worry about transition and pulling some guards back, or is it, you know what, let's just attack the glass and try to get a couple extra possessions out of that?
Yeah, it's funny because it's one thing we haven't just totally emphasized. We've kind of just kind of let them do what they do, because I think sometimes if you put in too many rules early, like, hey, you're only going to crash, and you give them too much black and white, then it's like, well, I had an opportunity for an offensive rebound here. You know, somebody like Evelyn, we could say, oh, she's a small guard, get back. Well, she's one of our better offensive rebounders. So a lot of our kids, and part of that is the experience that they're smart to understand, like, if I'm on the perimeter and a shot's going from the corner, or maybe a guard went in and drove, like, I'm not going to crash now because we need people back. Or, hey, I can get an offensive rebound, go here. Obviously, your talls typically are going to be inside and they're going to be going for a second chance. But we've done a good job of going and getting offensive rebounds and getting back in transition. So it's something that we've just kind of emphasized, probably transition defense more than offensive rebounding, because that's usually what it comes down to in basketball when you're deciding, are we going to be a team that goes and gets a bunch of O-boards, or are we going to be a team that makes sure you don't get transition baskets? And so I guess my philosophy as a coach is more on the, we're not going to let you get transition baskets and then send a couple to the glass.
And to this point, you're kind of getting the best of both, of getting back,
yep,
but also,
yeah,
pulling in some of those O-boards. We're talking Northwest women's basketball head coach Austin Meyer. Cats are 7-1 on the season, getting set for Missouri Western coming up later on this evening, the MIAA opener for both teams. We touched on it very early, but circling back, you mentioned, hey, 7-1 after kind of knowing the gauntlet we had, you take that. Realistic expectations for, let's say, where you're at September and you're practicing to where we're at now on early December. Like, would you have looked at that and said, I think we're going to go win and probably win 7 of our first 8 and be in a position where the MIAA is looking at us like, oh, this might be a team that's going to climb? Or were you thinking, let's try to win four or five games and just get there?
Well, I think That's
not tough. To put numbers on you.
Well, I've never been one to do the, yeah, if we win four of our next six, you know, well, what if you win the first four, right? But 7-1 would have been tough just because of the teams we played. I mean, you're talking defending national champions, the style they play. You're talking Texas women's, Ashland, who has lost, what, 10 games in 5 years or something crazy like that. So, I believe we had a chance to be really good, and I think we're a team that has a chance to win compete for a conference championship, no doubt about it. But 7-1 is pretty good with that schedule. But when you look at our experience, you look at the kids, the talent level that we had coming in with the athleticism, attitudes, character-wise, like I think the kids that we have, both returners and newcomers, it just fosters like. They came together pretty quick. Now, we did some stuff in the preseason with, you know, getting people together and events and stuff to hopefully foster some of that. But just the character we have, they all meshed pretty quick. And we played. We talked about we played so much in the preseason. You know, you're limited on what you can do from a practice time. So rather than go out here and drill and walk through our whole system, we just kind of gave them a couple things. We played. We watched some film. We played again. Watched some. And they got to where when we came up to the first game, we felt like we were ready to play a 5-on-5 game because we'd done it so much. And I think as we've been able to continue to grow just with the little things and execution stuff as we've gone on through the season.
I know you're not going to sit there in a pregame speech and talk about being ranked in the top 25, but you're not ranked in the preseason. You come in at 18th, then you move up to 15th and still sitting in that top 25 at 7-1. But the players see it, and they know generally where they're at, and they know the teams that they've beaten that are still sitting ahead of them. Is there a little bit of a chip on their shoulder thinking from that perspective?
I think probably a little bit. Just because why are we not ahead of them?
Exactly, right?
we played them head-to-head.
Like, we'll yell about that, but, you know, in the locker room, I don't know.
We played them head-to-head. We got a better record. No, I think there probably is. You know, it is something, to your point, we don't, like, focus on a ton. I mean, when you get into – obviously, as a player, you're just focused on getting better in the games. But the regional rankings is where that really matters once you get deeper in the season. But, no, I think it is good for recruiting. It is good for just to show where our program is right now from where it was – you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it's in a much better position. And so hopefully we can continue to climb in that department.
We see against Mission, Aaliyah Riley get back into the lineup, a new career high with 12 points. She's coming off a couple injuries early in the season, but something she's able to work back from. How does she look? How has she progressed these first couple months?
Yeah, she's done great. I mean, when she came in and early on, you could tell. I mean, we knew it out of high school, too, just her athleticism, her playmaking ability, her feel for the game. On-ball defense is as good as anybody out there, and she picked things up quick. And we charted deflections in the preseason. That was a big thing for us defensively. And Sadie Brooklyn Aaliyah led us in deflections, and a lot of that is, you know, there's that athleticism element that we talked about that makes a difference as far as that goes. But yeah, she's been awesome. Great kid, energy, great teammate. So it was good to. It was tough when she went out, but she's been back and had a few days of practice in that game. It was nice to have that game on Saturday for her to get out, you know, our first home game before Tuesday.
Now, Missouri Western with a new coach, but you know, like they've always had some really quick guards. How does she kind of plug in there when you think about – and Alyssa Bonilla and some others that they want to get the ball and get up the court in a hurry?
Yeah, Bonilla is one that – really makes them go. She's really quick. She's really shifty. So it's nice with Aaliyah and Evelyn, just that we can kind of, you know, make sure they're matched up on her and work to keep her in front and not give up angles. And with our defensive philosophy of not helping and rotating, of being able to guard things one-on-one, it's going to be key that we guard her one-on-one, because if you don't guard her one-on-one, she gets layups. If you try to scramble and help and rotate, then she's kicking and everybody on the floor can shoot for them. So it's going to be a challenge for us defensively, just because they'll have a lot of times five kids on the floor that can shoot it. And that can be tough from a ball screen coverage, because typically your fives are in what we would call drop coverage, where you can help on any pick and roll, because the fives typically not going to pop and shoot. Well, this is a team that they will pop and they shoot it, and they shoot it at a high percentage. So you got to make sure you're not letting the guard get downhill as far, where you're pulling two to the ball and then they're throwing back for a wide open one. So guards got to be ready to get through it and guard the ball, so our talls don't have to help as long, so they can recover. So, and then transition, a lot of times as a five, you can sprint back and just kind of get paint first and then figure out where your player is. Well, this is a game where you can't do that because you got to sprint back. And as you're sprinting back, you got to understand, where the shooters are and where people are all are. So it's going to just take a elite job of communication and defensive transition for us.
The MIAA opener for both teams, Candy Whitaker goes off. She gets a job at North Alabama. And so Coach Feldhaus taking over her first time in an MIAA game as a head coach. Take me back 7 years. Of course, you were on the bench as an assistant and playing in this league, but it's a little bit different once you get into a conference game with some of the teams you have to face. And I assume probably a few more nerves and anxiety that goes with it too.
Yeah. I mean, it's at this, as far as this level goes, it's one of the best, if not the best leagues in the country. So, it's another whole level. You know, we've been fortunate enough where, we played some of those top five teams early. And they've played good teams, but, you know, it's a whole different deal when you get into MIAA play. So yeah, I don't remind me of those early days. Those were a little bit tougher.
Well, you know, just since, the 2021 season, the start of the 2021-22 season, Northwest Missouri State is 62-36, a 633 win percentage. So obviously things have come around a little
bit. Can we just cut the first few years off the bio then for me? Can you do that? Can we talk to Colin about that?
Doesn't that make you feel a little bit better? They're like, man, I remember how miserable I was at some point. Now here we are.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been a building process. All right, we're heading into December, obviously. We're coming off Thanksgiving break. How was Thanksgiving? Did you get a chance to recharge?
I did. So it was good, yeah. We had, I think I had four meals on Thanksgiving.
Nice.
So my mother-in-law in St. Joe, you know, it was like 9:30, and I was like, she's like, do you want a little bit of something? Yeah, sure, I'll have one. Just a small plate. Well, Karen loads it up. You know, it's like a double serving of everything. So I ate that right before bed. I don't think I ate the next day till about 4 o'clock. So
that's pretty
good.
But no,
it was good to get away, and our kids got to get away. With the way our schedule worked out, they had Wednesday, Thursday off. So I know if initially we were only going to take Thanksgiving Day off, but a few of them got to go home and surprise family and stuff. So, and we had a pretty good practice coming back. You always worry about that 2 days off over Thanksgiving. Is it going to be sluggish? But, that's what makes our kids great is they're pretty much ready to go every practice. And
you didn't have to run the sprints.
I did not have to run
the night before.
I did not. And that yeah, you take that into consideration. I kind of wish I did. Maybe I need to force myself to so I don't eat as much in the future. Maybe that needs to be a new plan.
Thrown up in that trash can a lot.
Would have been bad. Yeah, I had to pull it over early before I started, you know, get it on the sideline there.
Well, Coach Meyer, Missouri Western at home tonight, Emporia State on the road Thursday, and really hitting that MIAA schedule hard before a bit of a break and some more non-conference games. But appreciate you coming on and talking with us, and we'll see you again this evening.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
That is Northwest Missouri State head coach Austin Meyer with us. The Bearcats and the Griffins meet up at 5:30 this evening. We'll take a break. Back with more on KXCV, KRNW.
Support for KXEV KRNW is brought to you by Agriland FS, with 18 fast stop locations in southern Iowa and northwest Missouri, including South Main and Maryville, across from Applebee's. Fast stop is open 24/7. To find the nearest location, agrilandfs.com/faststop.
Support for KXEV KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, Broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, as we are now talking men's basketball with head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Matt Keeley. And Matt had a little bit of time off since the last games up in Fayette, Iowa. Just talk a little bit about how the team spent the last week and going through Thanksgiving and everything.
Yeah, it was exactly what you said, just kind of a little bit of a reset here where we have a little gap between, you know, the game we played there on Sunday and you know, before going against Western here. And I think we've used it well, both on the court and off, just trying to go, you know, fresh legs and fresh minds a little bit, as well as kind of knowing a little bit more of ourselves and with a little bit of stretch of things that we got to shore up and work on. But I had practice right before break there on Wednesday morning, and the team came over to the house, and you know, my wife and Coach Braxton's wife put together an awesome Thanksgiving meal that everyone got to come over and enjoy, and even played some games and hung out a little bit with the family, which was awesome. And then went ahead and took Thursday off and then had them back on Friday. So was able to stagger though in a way that we were off because we went Wednesday morning and then Friday night, so it was a little over 48 hours off, even though we only took the one day off. But was able to, you know, stay in the gym, but still get to celebrate some Thanksgiving, which you don't always get to do, you know, in basketball world. Sometimes that's a holiday that just kind of falls right in the middle, especially a lot of teams playing either that Tuesday right before or the Saturday right after. But the schedule just happened to fall for us this year in a way that allowed us to have a little bit of a break, and was good. And I think, you know, we practiced well. Guys kind of got refocused, and we've had some pretty intense and intentional practices here, hoping to see it pay off against the Griffins.
Ian, talk a little bit about getting a bit of a break there. I think that's important for a couple different reasons. Obviously, the physical standpoint of it, but mentally as well, because this basketball season can be a long season when you take in consideration when you first get back on campus, start practicing, and then go all the way through toward March and everything. So I would imagine that from that standpoint, even though it's still young in the actual season, that's probably coming at a good time there.
I think it's such a unique, you know, basketball is so unique in that way that it stretches over two semesters, and, you know, they allow us to start working out and stuff with our guys on the fourth day of school, you know, which for us we did right after Labor Day this year, and you know, in years that it's going well, that's well into March then, and you start putting the calendar days together that you're together as a group, and you know, it's a long journey, a marathon journey in that way. We're used to it, you know, it's not abnormal, but it is certainly a stretch of time where an occasional, you know, catching of your breath or resetting of where you're at, you know, where have we been, where are we trying to go, where are we at? And we talked a little bit about that in the locker room even on Sunday as we, you know, what feels like a long time ago now against Concordia St. Paul, just like, hey, this is, you know, not the start that maybe we expected. That's where we've been. You know, we've got a vision of where we're trying to go, and we have a 8 or 10 day stretch there that is now coming to a conclusion that help that we got to be really focused to try to get us to what we're trying to do and identify some of the things that we got to be better at. And so I think the guys locked into that, and you know, we'll see what the results end up being here this week, even with two you know, good opponents. But I do feel like we are a much better basketball team than we were, you know, at the start of the year. We'll see if we're good enough to get the results that we want. And because there's, you know, a group on the other side that's trying hard too, you know, and experience and off to a great start. Obviously, Coach Martin there at Western has his group playing really well, as we've seen on film here this week. But excited to get back out on the court and you know, get to measure ourselves and see exactly where we're at.
You know, one of the things, too, that really appears to stand out to me just watching this group right now, too, is with it being a long season, it's a group of guys that really like spending time together, not only on the court but off the court, where that has to be something that you have to really like about this group.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it so many times. They're such a good group of guys, and you know, from you know, the parents to the guys in the locker room, and we're growing in that way, you know. In all times, it takes time to develop that stuff. You can't just walk in day one and just be best friends with somebody or something like that. So you know, adding six guys, three freshmen and a couple transfers to a group that had been together, you know, I know that a group of them went out and watched Gladiator, and you know, we've had a couple trips here where we've got to spend some time, you know, in hotels and on buses and just the little things that go into it that I think help, you know, bond your group together and understand that it's not just a teammate, but no, that's another person that, you know, has a family and has stresses of whether it's girlfriends or school or whatever it is, and you get to share those things together, and it's some of the things that helps you, you know, remember great teammates. You know, I got a 8th grader, and the thing that I tell him every time is play hard and be a great teammate. And you know, I think that's the standard that we're going with our guys too. You know, hey, right now, let's play hard and be great teammates. And a break here, and then a couple weeks, and then you know we get Christmas break right after. Where, as a coach, I think is the best time of year. You know, like the rules on exactly the amount of hours we get to spend. You know, loosen up a little bit, as well as there's no nothing else going on. I mean, us and the women's team are the only teams on campus for a stretch, and it's all basketball all the time. And so, obviously, that's a couple weeks down the road here after finals week and stuff. But certainly, the combination of Thanksgiving and then Christmas coming up here from the practice standpoint is where you get a chance to make great strides, because then you hit that second semester and it's just Thursday, Saturday, and you know, you're kind of already set on who you are and just trying to polish some stuff up at that point.
Now, you touched a little bit about this a little bit earlier with Missouri Western coming to town later this evening. And not only is it the MIAA opener, but also the home opener for Northwest. And it seems like it's been a while since I had a chance to play in front of the fans here at Bearcat Arena. So it's going to be nice to have a chance to play at home here tonight.
For sure. And we got to sneak in the family on Saturday and see the girls play at home. And just, you know, seeing the green and the energy and, you know, cheer team and everyone excited and all the stuff. So certainly excited to get into the Bearcat. You know, haven't had a home one yet, as you mentioned, but start getting into the rhythms, routines of playing in front of the home team and the hometown crowd, and should be an exciting one.
Well, not only do you get to have the MIAA opener as head coach of the Bearcats, but also it's an opener against the nearby rival, Missouri Western, so you get indoctrinated into this rivalry right off the start here.
You know, they're not very far away, and so certainly aware of those guys and you know, the things they do. But and I'm sure, you know, the more experience I have, there'll be different teams that, you know, you like to battle, and some that mean a little different than the other. But we're just at this spot right now that they're the next one, and you know, it's certainly has a different feel being a conference game. And I'm sure once the ball tips off, you know, tonight at 7, that you know, it'll have a great energy to it. But from the coaching standpoint, you know, you're kind of locked into, hey, what do we have to do, and you know, remove from the emotions a little bit here, especially the first time through, whether it's on the offensive side of it or defensive side of it, and the challenges that they're going to present, and the things that, you know, we're strong at, and try to control some different stuff in the game. So you know, it's not necessarily one that we have circled on the calendar or anything like that you know, we're waiting for, other than it's the next one up. And so, like I said, I think we'll be ready.
Missouri Western coming in 7-1 on the year. They've won their last 7 after opening up the season with a loss. But you look at their team, a very experienced team coming in. A lot of guys have been a part of their program for a few years. And statistically anyway, they don't do anything outstanding. But what they do is right now just win. I mean, they're finding a way to come up with wins in these games.
They're battle tested. And like you mentioned, they've won a bunch in a row. And they're kind of their top 8 that rotates. They've got 7 seniors and a junior and 7 returners and 1 transfer, and I think that's kind of put them ahead of some other teams early, just with their continuity and their understanding of each other, and they've taken advantage of that, and you know, kind of got shell shocked there in their first game, where you know, they got that beat pretty good, but quickly righted the ship, and I think, like you've said, have just found ways to win. You know, they just hung in there in some games that they've led early and hung on, and or one going away, or some that maybe they got down early and battled back. And so they're going to pose a challenge, just because they've been through the fire a little bit, even here early in their non-conference, where they've been challenged in some games and some things that they've needed to do with an older group. You know, with our new group and stuff, we're trying to catch up to that with some different things and some of the experience. But we'll see. I think that's hoping that happens this evening.
Then after this, you got just a short day off, and then on the road for the matchup with Emporia State down in Emporia, Kansas on a Thursday evening. And that's kind of a different situation with Emporia. New head coach and Tom Billiter coming in from Augustana, and only one player on his roster that saw any playing time a year ago for Emporia State. So a much different type of team what you'll face this evening with Missouri Western.
Yeah, there's probably more similar to our situation down there at Emporia State, just with a new coach and new players and all that stuff. But Coach Billiter, you know, having coached a national championship team and you know, has all my respect in the world, just because those things are not easy to do. As I often say, winning is hard. And so if you win the last one, that's pretty special, having going up against him. So, you know, a chance to go on the road. We'll go down, you know, kind of the day before and get into some of that routine that will become standard here in the second semester when it's Thursday, Saturday, even though this is kind of a Tuesday, Thursday, it still will have a similar feel with that. But most of our focus still has been kind of internal on ourselves and the things that we know that we control or even here on Western the last two or three days. The league requires you flip it over in a day and a half. And in so many ways, we've talked about how that's awesome about basketball. You know, you don't have to wait 7 days, or sometimes if there's a bye week, 14 days, you know, like football or other stuff to like kind of go on to the next one, whether you're coming off of a win or a loss, that can feel like a long time. You know, basketball just, they keep coming and we're used to, you know, preparing in that way. So you lean heavily on what you do and your foundations and then, you know, try to bring in some things that can be unique to each individual game plan. And we'll have those ready to go on Thursday as well.
Now, yeah, I had an opportunity to see both of these teams in person earlier this year as they were part of the Hillier Classic down in St. Joseph. How much of an advantage, if at all, is that where you had a chance to watch them in person as opposed to maybe through the video and things, just to kind of get a feel for what they both have?
I think you always get a little bit better feel in person than you do on film. I mean, our Video Exchange Now stuff is so awesome. You can have, you know, pretty much anything that you want to see video wise just through, you know, the Synergy platform and all that stuff and get it. But seeing them in person always gives you a little bit better feel for size and speed and maybe even some, you know, verbal play calls and all that stuff. But that even feels like, I mean, you mentioned how long the season is. That feels like a long time ago.
It
wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it does,
you know, it was still in the month of November, but man, I feel like we're a different team. I got to imagine that they are as well, in different ways. So there is a little bit of an advantage, but I don't know how big of an advantage just because it was, you know, 6 games ago and teams continuing to, you know, adapt and become a better version of themselves. So, we'll see.
All right. Well, Coach, appreciate you being with us here on the show here today, and then we'll talk to you a little bit later tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Again, that is the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Matt Keeley, is Northwest getting set to take on Missouri Western later this evening, part of a men's-women's doubleheader at Bearcat Arena. The women will tip off at 5:30, and we'll follow that right up with our broadcast for the men tonight as well, our pregame getting underway at 5 o'clock. We'll be back and have more for you right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
And we're back on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we wrap things up with Matt Tritton. I'm John Coffey. And again, Matt, as we talked about a little bit earlier, basketball tonight at Bearcat Arena, Northwest Missouri State and Missouri Western. And we'll have the broadcast of that coming up. And then just a day off. And then on Thursday, a trip to Emporia, Kansas to face Emporia State. So a busy week for Bearcat basketball.
It is diving into MIAA play. And, of course, right now, John, it's December. It's supposed to be cold outside, so what better way to spend your evening than getting inside Bearcat Arena? And a first look for Matt Keeley's squad. A lot of people haven't seen Northwest men's basketball yet, so come out and check that out. Then on the other side, too, the early game at 5:30, the Bearcat women have reeled off 6 wins in a row. They're ranked in the top 25, 7-1 overall. You know, it's been really brewing for a few years of knowing that Coach Meyer is going to find a team to break through. They reached the NCAA tournament last year, and now all of a sudden you kind of see them knocking on the doorstep to taking that next big step. Is this the year that maybe they break through and bring in a conference title? It would start tonight with a victory over Missouri Western. So it's going to be fun to watch both of these teams as we come down the stretch.
No doubt about that. And again, you can catch both of the games right here on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe, as we'll be on there at 5 o'clock with their pregame for the women, and follow that right up into the men's broadcast tonight as well from Bearcat Arena. For Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and so long on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.